This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Coming to you from the Circus Sportsbook here in downtown Las Vegas, I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It is week 18 of the NFL season, and the regular season is coming to a close. We're going to take you through the conclusion of these late afternoon games. Of course, we will preview the AFC North Championship game coming up tonight between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens. But here is what's going on in progress right now and what is at stake as far as the games that are in progress right now. The Denver Broncos are playing for the one seed in the AFC, and they are in control of their game. It's not a runaway victory, but they are in control 16-3. They lead the Chargers with 11 minutes to go in that fourth quarter. A victory for the Broncos, and they are your number one seed. Should the Broncos lose, should the Chargers come back somehow and win this game, well, then the New England Patriots will be the number one seed. The Patriots will wrap up the two seed after their victory here over the Dolphins. They're up 38-10 in the fourth quarter with about 6 minutes left. So this game is over as they are going to come away with a victory there. The Rams will lock up the five seed as long as they close out their victory over the Cardinals. They lead 30-20, so a 10-point lead right now. They do have the football with 5 minutes to go in the game. We're also watching the Chicago Bears play for the two seed in the NFC and the Philadelphia Eagles as well. You know, the Eagles are tied with the Commanders 17 apiece. The Bears are tied with the Lions at 16 apiece. If the Bears win this football game, they will lock up the two seed in the NFC playoff picture. If the Bears lose this game and the Eagles win their game, the Eagles will be the two seed and the Bears will fall to the three seed. So there's a lot on the line here. And these games, you know, the Eagles are comfortable. The Eagles were pretty much punting on this game. They put out their backups, Tanner McKee at quarterback, and they said, whatever, you know, we're comfortable being the three. You know, we are where we are. We're okay with it. Meanwhile, the Chicago Bears, they have battled back from down 16-0 against the Detroit Lions. They have scored 16 unanswered points here in the fourth quarter. Two touchdowns and two 2-point conversions here in the fourth quarter to tie the game at 16. And so that is what we are monitoring right now as far as the games with any relevance. The New York Jets are not going to get shut out. Congratulations. They score a touchdown. The Bills with a 35-8 lead over the New York Jets. Josh Allen took the first snap of this game to make sure that his consecutive starts streak was still intact. And then he came out of the game, and it's been Mitch Trubisky for the entirety of this game here for the Buffalo Bills. He has thrown for 4 touchdowns, by the way. Elsewhere, the Chiefs and the Raiders are playing where we could see no touchdowns being scored in this game. We've had a safety, but we haven't had a touchdown being scored. 11-6, the Raiders lead the Kansas City Chiefs. The Raiders are already locked into the number one overall pick. So there's no tanking here. They don't have to lose this game. They already have the number one pick because of the New York Giants winning against the Dallas Cowboys earlier. So the Raiders just playing for pride, trying to end their season on a high note here. We have a bunch of field goals and safety here as Chris Oladukun got hurt, left the game. Shane Buechele has taken over at quarterback here for the Kansas City Chiefs with 4:30 to go. They are driving. They're inside the red zone, and a lot of eyeballs are on one Hollywood Brown to see if he could reach his contract incentive by catching a touchdown pass and cashing in on a nice chunk of change. He has 2 catches for 13 yards already in this game. That was one of the contract incentives that I faded here in week 18. Of the 6, in my opinion, most widely publicized contract incentive props that were all over the internet, at least the ones that you could bet, because like Keenan Allen, there was no props on Keenan Allen. There was no props on a couple other players that were being talked about. So of the six major contract incentive props that were all over the internet and all over social media, I faded all of them. And we are going to go 5-1 on these fades. 2-0 on Saturday with the Rico Dowdle no touchdown prop. And I love books like here at Circa where you're allowed to bet the no on these things. Like they put the no price in addition to the yes price. As Jared Goff gets picked off on a deflected pass and the Bears are in business now, we'll have the football with 2:11 to go on their own 25-yard line. The Bears, with a win, will get the 2 seed in the NFC playoff picture. Back to the contract incentives. Played the no on Rico Dowdle to score a touchdown. That cashed. Sam Darnold with the he needed 3 touchdowns to get his contract incentive. The Seahawks were playing for the 1 seed. They don't care about Sam Darnold throwing touchdown passes for his incentive. Yet, all the content creators out there told you to bet Sam Darnold over 1.5 touchdown passes. I did not. I went the other way. And we cashed the under 1.5 touchdown passes for Sam Darnold. Myles Garrett needed the sack to get the record against the Bengals earlier today. And that's fine if you wanted to bet Myles Garrett to get that record. Cool. Lay the juice. Bet Myles Garrett to get that sack record. But the sports books were listing the over-under on the sacks prop at DraftKings specifically, 1.25 for Myles Garrett. That meant that he needed 1.5 sacks to beat you in this game. Well, he didn't. He got the 1 sack. And Joe Burrow fell down, but he got the 1 sack. And so he gets the record, but the under 1.25 does cash. And then Hollywood Brown is not going to score a touchdown in this game because the Chiefs are not going to score a touchdown in this game. They just kicked the field goal. And so that should cash as well. And then the one loss, which I can't say I'm mad because as I tweeted out, and you guys can follow me on Twitter, at Scott's On Air, I knew exactly how this was going to happen. The one loss that I suffered here, fading the most popular contract incentives, was Hunter Henry under 4.5 receptions. And part of me is so, how do I say this? I'm almost angry with the sports books because if the sports books held up their end of the bargain, this would have been a win for me. Now, I could have, I guess, laid some, well, no, I couldn't have because some, they don't have the over-unders. They just have like, they allow you to do the alternates on the overs, not the alternates on the unders. But normally when a player needs a certain amount of receptions for the contract incentive, the sportsbook will tax you on that. And we've seen it countless times. A player needs 5 receptions. Their prop is listed at 5.5. If that were the case with Hunter Henry, betting the under 5.5, you would have cashed. You would have won fading the contract incentive here if you did under 5.5 receptions for Hunter Henry. But the contract incentive prop, he needed 5 catches to get his bag, get his money. Sportsbooks listed him at 4.5 receptions. So I took the under 4.5 receptions, and Hunter Henry got his 5th reception here in the 4th quarter from Josh Dobbs. Josh Dobbs, 1 of 2 passing for 3 yards. Kate taking over for Drake May in this 4th quarter. The 1 completion for 3 yards was to Hunter Henry to make sure he got his 5th reception before leaving the game. And so that is the one prop that I lost. Congratulations to all of you that played it out there. If it was taxed like I was hoping it was going to be, then under 5.5 would have been a cash. But it's funny, I tweeted out a message that I sent to people earlier here on Sunday exactly how this was going to play out. My exact quote, I'm strongly considering under 4.5 receptions for Henry. Of course, I'll feel like a bleep when he gets put back in the game in the 4th quarter to catch 2 screen passes from Josh Dobbs. It was only 1 screen pass from Josh Dobbs, but that's how he gets his 5th reception and cashes his contract incentive. So overall, of the 6 fades going 5-1, I'm perfectly happy with that. A successful betting day, fading the most publicly talked about narratives. And I think that that is a lesson for you guys moving forward. Pick your spots, okay?
play these props wisely. Don't just blindly fade because somebody on TikTok's got a lot of followers. The sports books know this stuff. The sports book taxes you on this stuff. And just because a guy needs to do something doesn't mean they're going to do it. Just because a team needs to win doesn't mean they're going to do it. Look at the double-digit favorites here in the NFL. Look at these teams that we thought, oh, they need the win. They're going to blow out their opponent, right? Look at how much the lines have steamed on all of these games. Well, Broncos, yeah, they're winning by 13 right now, 16-3. Okay, it's been a battle. Rams, they just scored a touchdown. So now the Rams are up 37-20. So they are now covering, up 17. Patriots are doing their job. Houston Texans did not. Texans were a double-digit favorite. They win by 8 thanks to the fumble recovery at the end. Jaguars did their business, 41-7. Vikings covered a big line as well. The Bengals lost as big favorites. Browns get the victory. The Falcons didn't cover as they won by 2 over the Saints. I mean, just because something needs to happen or you think it's going to happen doesn't necessarily mean that it is or it always will happen here. By the way, we talked yesterday about betting the MVP market and how Matthew Stafford had an opportunity here to improve his standings with a big performance in a must-win game for the 5 seed. Well, Matthew Stafford has thrown for 259 yards and 4 touchdowns against the Cardinals. And up on DraftKings right now, Drake May minus 120 to win the MVP and Matthew Stafford minus 110. The market's ridiculous. Nothing has changed. Matthew Stafford is your most valuable player. He was before last week. He is after this week. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Cashing Out, or Live Bet Sunday, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Live Bet Sunday, I'm Scott Satterberg on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matthew Stafford has now moved to a minus 125 favorite to win the MVP. He has thrown for, as I mentioned, 259 yards and 4 touchdowns in this game right now. The Rams with a 37-20 lead over the Arizona Cardinals as they will lock up the 5 seed here in the NFC playoff picture. Meanwhile, Drake May did not play the majority of the fourth quarter. He finished 14 of 18 for 191 yards and 1 touchdown. He did have 5 carries for 41 yards. So I talked about it yesterday. You had a situation where I thought Drake May might not play the second half. Frankly, he didn't need to play the second half, but I guess it was a 17-10 game at the half. And then the Dolphins marched all the way down inside the red zone on their first possession of the third quarter before Quinn Ewers threw an interception in the end zone. So it was actually a close game. If Quinn Ewers doesn't throw the interception there, it could have been a 17-17 game. So yeah, Drake May needed to be in the game there in the third quarter. But it came out in the fourth quarter, and that was all she wrote. Meanwhile, Matthew Stafford may be thinking about the MVP. Maybe they're chucking it down the field, thinking about the MVP. I think more so, and this might be what Sean McVay would tell you after the game, before he recaps every single play and every single snap that occurred over the past 20 years, is he might suggest that without Devontae Adams, which they've been without for a couple of weeks, that maybe the offense has needed to figure some things out. And so using this live game situation against the Cardinals could have been a way to say, hey, we now are figuring out what we can do without Devontae Adams on the field. And that's getting Tyler Higbee involved. That's getting Colby Parkinson involved, right? So maybe that's what they're doing. Or
trying to get Stafford the MVP, as the odds have now fluctuated up on DraftKings. Matthew Stafford minus 125 to be the most valuable player. Keeping an eye on that game, keeping an eye on the rest of the games that are still in progress right now here in the, in week 18. Lions have the football. They are in field goal range with 9 seconds remaining. The game is tied at 16. The Eagles trailing the Commanders 24-17 with under 2 minutes to go. A Bears loss combined with an Eagles victory, the Eagles would be the 2 seed and the Bears would be the 3 seed. So that's how it's going to, that's how it could play out. Now, if both teams lose, the Bears will still be the 2 seed. That's simple. The Bears will be the 2 seed if both teams lose. Right now, it is a field goal attempt for the Detroit Lions to win the game against the Bears while the Eagles have the football 4th down at the 31-yard line with a minute 26 to go here against the Commanders. So the 2 seed up for grabs here, and everyone's scoreboard watching here in Chicago, because even if this field goal goes in, and speaking of field goals, the Chiefs just kicked the field goal to take a 12-11 lead over the Raiders, a game that has still not seen a touchdown being scored. Tanner McKee's pass is incomplete, so the Commanders take over. The Lions get the win. So the Lions get the field goal victory. But it might not matter for the Chicago Bears. The Eagles, I believe, still have all 3 of their timeouts remaining. There's a minute 17 left on the clock. The Commanders take over on their own 31-yard line after Tanner McKee's pass was incomplete there on 4th down. So the Bears lose to the Detroit Lions, but they could still be the 2 seed in the NFC playoff picture. This loss does not matter right now unless Philly pulls off a miracle comeback victory. But right now, look, 1 first down, and that's it. It's going to be a Washington Commanders victory over the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Bears will be the 2 seed. The Eagles will be the 3 seed. Now, what is the relevance of that? Well, it's your opponents. It's who you play. The 2 seed in the 2 seed in the NFC is going to play the 7 seed, which is the Green Bay Packers. So if it's the Bears, it's a divisional rematch against the Packers. If it's the Eagles, it's playing the Packers, a team that you've played now twice in the last couple of seasons. You had the Brazil game last year. This year it was a 10-7 victory over the Packers. So it'll be a rematch of two teams that are pretty familiar with each other. The 3 seed, meanwhile, will take on the 6 seed, which is going to be the San Francisco 49ers. So you have to welcome the 49ers now into your building, because the Rams are going to win here. They'll move to the 5. The 49ers will move to the 6. So Eagles, 49ers, Bears, 49ers. We just saw that Bears 49ers game where they lost 42-38. Eagles, 49ers, rematch of an NFC championship game from a couple of years ago. That'll be a great match to watch. But again, the injuries mounting, piling up here for the San Francisco 49ers, you just wonder exactly what that game's going to look like. All right, so Philadelphia has called their 2nd timeout here. They still have 1 timeout remaining. Let's see. 1st down was a 6-yard gain. 2nd down was a 1-yard gain. It will be 3rd and 3 for the Commanders on their own, 38-yard line. If they get the 1st down, the game is over. If the Eagles come up with a stop, then it's decision time. Will the Commanders punt, or will they go for it at their own 38-yard line? If they punt it, the Eagles will have a chance to march down the field, score a touchdown, possibly go for two for the win, go for overtime in the tie. Right now, the Eagles are the 3 seed if they lose this game. So that's where we sit right now. Even with the loss here by the Chicago Bears, a Philadelphia loss keeps the order the same, where the Bears are the 2, the Eagles are the 3. And we'll see what the Commanders do here on 3rd down. Now 4th and 2. Did they throw the ball? No. 4th and 2 at the Washington 39. They must have run the ball for no gain because the Eagles used their 3rd timeout. Yep. Chris Rodriguez up the middle for about 1 yard. So 4th and 2, the Eagles used their final timeout with 1:03 remaining in the 4th quarter, hoping to get the football back with a chance to capture the 2 seed here in the NFC playoff picture. Meanwhile, some drama here in Vegas, maybe. Daniel Carlson is on the field as the Raiders will look to kick a game-winning field goal, or not game-winning because there's more time left on the clock. There's 13 seconds left. A game-tying field goal attempt, or not game time, go-ahead field goal, excuse me, a go-ahead field goal attempt for Daniel Carlson from the logo. The kick is up, and it is good right down the middle. The Las Vegas Raiders have taken a 14-12 lead over the Chiefs with 8 seconds remaining in the game. So, it doesn't matter when for the Raiders. They are still the worst record in the NFL. They have the 1 overall pick. Doesn't matter. But it's nice to go out with a win in what could be Pete Carroll's final game coaching here in the NFL. Give the fans something to cheer about and mercifully end this Kansas City Chiefs season. The Eagles will get the football back. They have the ball on their own 28-yard line. 53 seconds left. They got to march all the way down the field with no timeouts remaining. A touchdown and an extra point to tie it, or a touchdown and a 2-point conversion to win it here. Eagles with a chance to get the 2 seed after the Bears lose to the Detroit Lions. You wonder, though, how much, I mean, look, the players are trying to win the game, but like, the Eagles didn't actually go out there trying to win this game by benching all their starters, by having Tanner McKee start. So it's not like this is something that they are really, really focused on getting the 2 seed here in the NFC playoff picture. But we'll update you on what happens in this one. Plus, we have to preview the AFC North Championship game coming up next. Don't forget, you can start your new year off as a better with a VSiN Pro subscription. This is the final week to save 50% off the regular monthly price with our holiday special. Sign up now, get VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $79. You get all the daily best bets, the betting splits, the AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and all of our betting guides. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Sunday.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on Live Bet Sunday, I'm Scott Satterberg with you on VSiN, the sports betting network. There's just one game that is still in progress here in the afternoon slate, and that is the Broncos versus the Chargers, as the Chargers have just scored a touchdown, and that will be a backdoor cover here, but there's a flag. There's a flag. Let's see if this one is good. Nope. It looks like a procedure penalty on the offense. No touchdown. It is 19-3. Broncos leading the Chargers right now. They closed, the Broncos did, as 15.5-point favorites. Winning by 16 right now, they are covering. If the Chargers score a touchdown, they will backdoor all numbers here against the Denver Broncos. And you just wonder how much that impacts any of the top contestants that are in contention in circa millions. This is the final game here. Well, Sunday night is going to be the final game, but this is the final week here. And a lot of these contestants are sweating out some of these games. And if you think about, like, what the line was in the Circa contest for the Denver Broncos, I believe it was 10.5. Because obviously these lines come out earlier in the week, right? So the line on this game, let's see, I believe was Broncos 13.5 was the line, 13.5. So you got some CLV, great, with it closing here at 15.5, but a touchdown by the Chargers, and this will be a cover by the Chargers. I guess they're reviewing to see if this catch here was a good catch, but that is the drama that is unfolding right now. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. And we are keeping an eye on this game, and of course we will preview Sunday Night Football coming up. Everything's been decided. All the playoff spots, all the seedings have been decided. We are just waiting to see who wins the AFC North and who is the four seed in the AFC playoff picture. Tonight's game will decide that between the Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And currently we have Pittsburgh at home, 3.5-point dogs, as this pass is incomplete. Total is 41.5. Let's head out now to the Progressive guest line and welcome in Ray Fittipaldo, covering the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, joining us here on Live Bet Sunday. Ray, thanks so much for giving us a couple of minutes here before the game. Health-wise, what are we looking at right now for the Pittsburgh Steelers going up against the Baltimore Ravens tonight? Obviously, no DK Metcalf with the suspension. We know about Darnell Washington, but where are the Steelers health-wise going into this game elsewhere?
Well, other than those two, and those two are pretty significant for the offense, but other than those two, they are very healthy going into this game. T.J. Watt is back. He has no injury status going into this game. There's some speculation he might be on a pitch count, but they're going to have their best pass rusher back in the fold for this football game. Also, on the offensive line, Isaac Seumalo, who missed last week's game against Cleveland, is back. That will free up Spencer Anderson to who's a backup guard to play blocking tight end for Darnell Washington. So obviously, you know, losing your number one receiver and you're losing your number one tight end, that's not good, but they do have some healthy bodies back in the lineup here for game 272.
Great. Last week, certainly a lot was made after the game. Myles Garrett's comments about the Steelers focusing too much on chipping him. Other analysts reviewing the film and thinking that the Steelers focused too much on chipping Myles Garrett on passing plays. What's been the conversation after that game and how they're going to approach it a little bit differently here, maybe going up against the Baltimore Ravens? Do we think we see more routes for Kenneth Gainwell out of the backfield and less attention given to protecting Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, I mean, the Ravens have no one approaching Myles Garrett. So, I mean, their pass rush has been really not very good all season. So Kenneth Gainwell will be back in the routes this week. Uncharacteristic, 3 catches for 12 yards last week. I would expect that number to go way up this week, especially with Washington and Metcalf not playing. So you'll see more of Kenny Gainwell in routes. I think you'll see more of Pat Freiermuth in routes tonight, and I think the same for Jonnu Smith. They're a very tight end-centric offense to begin with, and I don't think that's going to change with Washington out. I just think you're going to see more of Freiermuth and more of Jonnu Smith.
Sure. On the other side, the Steelers have certainly had success against this Baltimore Ravens team. Tomlin has certainly had success going up against Lamar Jackson, who's not 100%. But Derrick Henry last week, he was the bell cow that everybody's been kind of begging the Ravens and Harbaugh to do all season long, right? And it seemed like last week, Harbaugh took all that criticism about Derrick Henry not getting the football in the final 12 minutes of their game against the Patriots, and he said, okay, we're just going to give it to him 40 times this week. Do you think it's a similar approach for the Ravens here tonight?
Well, you would think with Lamar not being 100%, that would simplify things. You know, you run him that much with Tyler Huntley, a quarterback. I think you could do the same thing with Lamar Jackson. The interesting part about this matchup tonight is if Lamar is feeling better, and I know he's never going to be the MVP Lamar from seasons past because he's been banged up all season long, But if he's feeling good, do you take a shot on a quarterback draw if you're the Ravens? Do you do a little bit of read option if he's feeling good? So that's kind of the chess match here tonight. He hasn't been that guy all season, but this is winner go home. And I think the Ravens and the Steelers, for that matter, they're going to pull up all the stops. They're not going to hold anything back. So I think the Steelers do have to be aware of that.
Ray Fittipaldo covering the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Joining me, Scott Sadenberg, here on the Progressive Guest Line. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. If there's a player outside of Derrick Henry that the Steelers need to focus on defensively, who is it?
Probably Isaiah Likely. You know, in the meeting in Baltimore, looked like he got the game-winning touchdown late in the fourth quarter. You know, controversial call went against the Ravens there. It's not that Mark Andrews isn't still really good. I think Andrews is still a good player, but it seems like Likely is kind of like their big play tight end now, the guy who gets a lot of chunk plays for them. So I think this is going to be a defensive contest. I think this is going to be a low-scoring game, and you have to limit those big plays. So I think if the Steelers can keep Likely in check, I think that would go a long way towards them being in this football game and potentially holding the Ravens' offense in check.
Were you surprised to see where the market came down on this game, having the Ravens as 3.5-point road dogs? I mean, you look at the history of this matchup, and it just tells you it's the underdogs. It's the underdogs. It's the underdogs, especially when it's Mike Tomlin as an underdog, especially when it's Tomlin and the Steelers at home as an underdog here against the Ravens. Are you surprised the opinion of the broader market thinking that the Ravens are head and shoulders above the Pittsburgh Steelers right now?
You know, I was in Cleveland last week. I had to watch that game. I'm guessing the people in Vegas watched that game as well. They just have a hard time manufacturing yardage and points without DK Metcalf. And I know it was only a one-game sample. And maybe the Steelers will be better this week because they got that one bad game out of their system. But they weren't deep at receiver to begin with. And when you lose a guy like Metcalf, it just really just hampers your offense. They're down to like guys like Adam Thielen, Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Thielen was cut by Minnesota in November. MVS was on the street. The Steelers signed him to their practice squad. He was on the street. So that kind of tells you where the Steelers receiving core is right now. They need one of those guys to step up, and we'll see who it is tonight.
I thought they should have ran the ball more last week, if I'm being honest, Ray. You know, I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking that, yeah, the Browns' D-line has been great this season, but over the past month or so, they've been eaten up on the ground. And, you know, for Jaylen Warren to not get as many touches and for Aaron Rodgers to drop back and pass as many times as they did last week, especially without DK, I thought that was really something that Arthur Smith should have questioned, maybe.
And the Steelers actually averaged like 5 yards per carry, I think, by game's end.
Yep.
They were actually running the ball well at times. But, yeah, Scott, to your point, they really didn't stay committed to it. I think it's going to be a different story tonight. You know, the first game in Baltimore when Metcalf was in the lineup, they wanted to take advantage of that Baltimore secondary. I think they'll take their shots against that secondary tonight in certain situations, but I think they probably want to play a little bit more ball control tonight, try to limit the possessions, make it a shorter game, and you know, see if you can make a play or two in the fourth quarter to win the football game.
That's where I think it happens here, right? I think this is a low-scoring, one-possession game like it always is here between the Ravens and the Steelers. I appreciate the time, my friend. Stay warm tonight. Enjoy the game.
Thanks, Scott. See ya.
There he is, Ray Fittipaldo, covering the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. We're about 40 minutes away from kickoff here of the AFC North Championship game. The Baltimore Ravens, 3.5-point favorites over the Pittsburgh Steelers with a now moving to 4. How about this? Market movement, screen lighting up in front of me. Ravens, -4, -115. Here at Circa, total of 41.5. Whew. We'll preview this game, talk a little bit more about the potential playoff matchups. Well, not potential. We know them all, except for one right now. I'm Scott Sadenberg. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Live Bet Sunday, I'm Scott Satterberg with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. My thanks to Ray Fittipaldo from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette joining us last segment to preview tonight's AFC North Championship game between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens. And as we were going to break, the market was lighting up. The board was lighting up right in front of my eyes. And the Baltimore Ravens have now gone from a 3.5-point favorite to a 4.5-point favorite. So how about that? The Ravens are now -4.5, -110 here at Circa. Now, this is my question. I want everybody to bear with me here as we talk this out. Is this a market movement? Is this a market movement in favor of the Ravens? Because Sharps or whoever is all on the Ravens, are all on the Ravens to win this game. Or, hear me out. Is this market movement driven by hedge plays in Circa Millions and possibly the Westgate Super Contest? This is the final game of the contests. And you wonder if anybody is sitting here on a Steelers side at +3.5, if now there's opportunities to hedge off of this play so that, hey, if the Steelers cover, you're going to win however much you're going to win in cash for in your contest here. And if the Steelers don't cover, well, at least now you're making some bank with a pretty large wager on the Baltimore Ravens side. And I don't know if that means like people were betting Ravens -3.5. Maybe people were just betting Ravens on the money line, because that could be an incredible way to hedge as well, because now you got a 3-point fat middle where if the Ravens win by a field goal or less, you win both. You're going to cash in the contest and you're going to win your hedge bet here. So now the books are having to react accordingly and move the line in order to attract action here on the Pittsburgh Steelers. So maybe it is Circa and the Westgate moving because of contest hedges and not so much this is market influence and we should be following the steam here thinking, oh, look at this market influence. Everyone's on the Baltimore Ravens tonight. We got to be on the Baltimore Ravens. This could be hedge moves. Let me look real quick here at some of the top selections in the Circa Millions contest specifically to see if any of these top selections have Ravens or the Steelers. Number one, CoinHop doesn't. Bison Sports Cards, second place in the running, has Steelers +3.5. We have the fourth place coming into today. Rex Golf has Ravens -3.5. We have two more contestants on the Ravens that were in the top six here. We have a couple of Steelers plays here. Potato Kamish got Steelers. A couple other contestants here have Steelers. I wonder if, again, this is market movement because everyone's on the Steelers here, or is this market movement because of hedge bets coming down on the Steelers and the Ravens? Keep in mind, the most popular or the second most popular selection in Circa Millions this week, Steelers +3.5. 1,501 selections on the Steelers +3.5. That is the number one, the number two most selected team here. And let me just look. I'm going to try and find if I can get some Westgate numbers here. I want to see if we find any, if that was a top consensus play as well for the Super Contest. Let's see. Week 18 selections for the top contestants that were in the running. We have anybody on the Steelers? One person that was in fourth place was on the Steelers.
and another person that was in seventh place is on the Steelers. The eighth place person was on the Steelers. So those contestants, fourth, sixth, and seventh, coming into today in the Super Contest, as the Steelers were the number one most selected team in week 18 of the Super Contest. So the second most selected team in Circa Millions, the number one most selected team in the Super Contest. This now makes sense. I am now deducing that the movement here is because of hedge bets. That's what I'm going with here. I don't think this is all of a sudden a strong market opinion on the Baltimore Ravens, moving them from 3.5 to 4.5 point favorites. I think this is hedges coming in on from people that are in the running to cash in both the two largest contests here in Vegas, the Circa Millions contest and the Super Contest. So if you like the Steelers, and I was on them, I'm on them. I already have a ticket in at 3.5. You can get them at plus 4.5 right now. If you like the Pittsburgh Steelers here, total has not moved. Total is at 41.5. So we've gotten an extra point here with the total staying stagnant. Here at Circa, the movement on the total has not changed since this morning, 41.5. Meanwhile, in the last 20 minutes, we have gone, actually not even, the last 5 minutes or so, 20 minutes or so, we have gone from 3.5 to 4.5. Because I mentioned the line was moving to 4 as we hit the commercial break. Now, during this whole segment, we are here at 4.5. So this is fascinating, certainly, to keep an eye on as we head into Sunday night football. As we talked with Ray earlier, it's quite the situation, right? With no DK Metcalf for the Steelers offense, you saw what they looked like last week. They couldn't generate a passing attack. Aaron Rodgers was force-feeding Marquez Valdez-Scantling and other guys, and they just never seemed to be on the same page. Scotty Miller was running the wrong routes. Marquez Valdez-Scantling was turning the wrong way. And Rodgers looked visibly frustrated. And the one guy that he trusts, well, two guys, the one guy, Darnell Washington, goes out with the injury, so he's gone. But the other guy that he trusts out of the backfield is Kenneth Gainwell, who has been such a huge offensive weapon for Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers offense, but he was more focused on chipping Myles Garrett in order to prevent him from sacking Aaron Rodgers. And so he didn't run as many routes last week as he usually runs. This week, as we talked with our guest earlier, Ray Fittipaldo, I think it's completely different. I'd go back to the well here with the receptions for Kenneth Gainwell. His receptions prop is at 4.5. It's minus 153 to the over. That is a play for me in this game. I think Kenneth Gainwell gets 5 catches in this game. He's going to have to. You look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, where is the offense coming from? They should rely more on Jaylen Warren running the football, where they abandoned it last week. They should rely more on him running the football. But if Rodgers is going to drop back 30-somewhat times, and his pass attempts prop here tonight is at, 33.5? Aaron Rodgers' pass attempts, 32.5, excuse me. If he's going to drop back 32 times in this game, you better believe that Kenneth Gainwell is going to get a ton of targets. Now, who else gets the targets? Well, this is still a tight end heavy offense. We know that they run that 13 personnel, right? One running back, 3 tight ends. They run that at an extremely high rate. And so I'd be looking at Pat Freiermuth. 3.5 receptions is plus 112. Jonnu Smith, 2.5 receptions over is plus 104. You could look at the yardage, but honestly, I always lean towards receptions rather than yardage. And that's something that we have seen throughout the entirety here in the NFL is that yardage is down. Why? Because starting field position is greater. And so there's less yardage to be had. So I always tend to go towards more of the receptions than the yardage. But Jonnu Smith, 2.5. Freiermuth, 3.5. Kenneth Gainwell, 4.5. My favorite one out of all three of those is Kenneth Gainwell. But I would be fine playing the other two as well because of how tight end heavy this offense is. By the way, right now is the best time of the year for bettors. And the all-new Boomers Sportsbook is bringing you the action.
football, hockey, basketball, and more. Use code VSIN250 when you sign up for a Boomers mobile account, and they'll match your first deposit up to $250 in bonus bets. Plus, get minus 105 on all pro football spreads every regular season game. Download the Boomers Sportsbook app today. Learn more at betwithboomer.com. Must be 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply. Bet responsibly. More on this Sunday night football game, plus the first touchdown props that we'll sprinkle as well. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN.